No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right this minute, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill, and today is the 22nd, yes it is, the 22nd day of December. Welcome, everyone. My thoughts and prayers go out to those of you who have not started your Christmas shopping yet. I know who you are. You're going to run to the Walgreens or something like that and do a quick pick. Just a quick pick of whatever you can find. There's no judgment. There's no shame. We're all different. That's what makes the world go round. I've been at it a while and I'm still not done because I need help. I need some therapy. I need to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And I don't do that well. I always feel like it's not enough. And boy, I'm working on it. The clock is clicking and you got a few days left. If you're going to the mall, ooh, take extra fruit of the spirit with you. Like you gotta get a whole basket. You gotta grab some apples, some bananas, some oranges, all of it. Some love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control, like stock up on that one as much as you can. Buy them out. If you have to go to Walgreens, buy them out of the self-control. We're gonna need it. Okay, let's jump in and read the Bible. Today we're reading Hebrews chapters 7 through 10. And this week we are reading the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 7. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means King of Justice, and King of Salem means King of Peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it. For the priest we are talking about belongs to a different tribe whose members have never served at the altar as priests. What I mean is, our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. This change has been made very clear since a different priest, who is like Melchizedek, has appeared. Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there already are priests who offer the gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning: "Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain." But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor they will need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. That first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the Ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the Ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them, for that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats, along with water, and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all the people, using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, "This blood confirms the covenant God has made with you." And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest here on earth, who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why, when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back." He also said, "The Lord will judge his own people." It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Okay, we have got the headiness of Paul in full effect today. Let's not get lost here. This is obviously, it's the Bible, still very important passages and words for us to hear today. So the overview of what we read in a one big nutshell is essentially explaining the difference between Melchizedek's priesthood and the priesthood of Jesus. Jesus has been called so many different things throughout the Bible by so many different people. But this particular passage is talking about the high priest, Jesus, the high priest, that comes throughout the order of Melchizedek. From Melchizedek, the old covenant, the original covenant, to Jesus, the new covenant, the fulfillment of the law. He didn't wipe away the law. It didn't go away. He fulfilled the law. And I know that's hard to get your head around. It's so hard, I don't even know how to explain it. But one of the most important things that we hear today, Jesus, God's only Son, the Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, was given as the final sacrifice, a spotless, perfect lamb. Remember how the covenant in the Old Testament, the sacrifice had to be a lamb without blemish. This is Jesus, the final sacrifice of sin to absolve the sin of man once and for all. Now, that absolves the need for animal sacrifice once and for all. Now, as far as I understand this, this means Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. We are not without sin. We have to acknowledge our sin and repent. And the most important thing that we can hear today, in my opinion, is that to know this truth, that Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law, but gave us a new law through a new covenant to love one another as he loved us, as he gave his life down. And as he is the fulfillment of the law, to know this truth and keep on sinning is foolish. Period. That's all I got to say. That's the whole point. We cannot keep on sinning knowing this. We have to come out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That's not for somebody else. This is for us. We have to become aware of what God calls sin, what God calls evil, and what is sinful and evil within us. Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. Check it out if you would like to. If you would like to partner with us, we're celebrating 20 years every day, and I cannot believe we are almost to the end of this final page turn of 20 years in the books. We move on to 21. If you would like to partner with us to keep the Daily Audio Bible Global Campfire aflamin', thank you so much. We could not do it without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can hit give on the app. It's up at the top right hand corner. And lastly, give. Look for that on the website. If you need prayer, if you would like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164. That's the number for chronological. Or if you are using the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on that app or on that phone, either way. When you're finished, hit submit, turn that wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. There is a prayer wall. If you would rather utilize the prayer wall, then call. We ask that you please respect that space for prayers and for prayer requests only. We try to keep that a very safe place, and we thank you for your cooperation with that. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together and continue in the book of Hebrews together. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is More Than a Survivor in Florida, calling to give a big, warm welcome to the other side to Redeemed Daughter, also in Florida. To let you know, I knew you would be here, sister. I've been praying for you and just trusting God to pull you through as he's done for me. I am 2 years post early breast cancer, stage 2 breast cancer free, and 2 years down and a lifetime to go. I am trusting God and praising him in my circumstances, come what may. It feels good to be on the other side, live life, trust God, and continue to praise him. And I lift up my prayers to all of those who are battling this horrible disease called cancer. And I'm asking for prayers for my dear friend, Anne, who is suffering from the side effects from medications that she takes for her lupus and the pains that go along with lupus. So I'm praying for that. We know that cancer is number one out there right now, but there are also people suffering from other illnesses and sicknesses and diseases. And I'm just joining in commune with my DAB and DABC family for prayers. For illnesses and sicknesses that are plaguing this world. And then just know, in a world made new, we will no longer have to deal with this. So I love you, and I'm praying for you and continue to pray for you, Redeemed Daughter. God bless.
This is Grateful in Tennessee, listening to the DABC on Thursday, 12/18/2025. At the end of the last caller was a man, I didn't get his name, who had just lost his job the day that he called. And I want him to know that I heard him, and I will believe with him that this is going to work out for the best, and he will find the job that he has been looking for, and the job that he wants, and the job that he needs. And I'm going to also pray for anybody that's going to be my prayer for the next couple of weeks, every day and night, for all of those of us who have job insecurities. I am also facing a bit of job insecurity myself, and it's especially hard to have faith at my age that something is going to work out because of, again, my age and my, you know, if you've heard my story, you know, I'm not the most hireable person, even though I'm a very good worker. I have a record, and that makes it hard. So, but anyway, that's enough about me. I just, you know, I want I want everybody who has job insecurity to know that I am praying for you. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for the DABC, and I'm grateful for the DAB. The stories on the campfire were absolutely amazing. And I just, I had to listen to the whole thing. It took me a week to do it, but man, I'm so much more connected to everybody out there. Love you guys. This is Grateful in Tennessee.
Hello, Daily Audio, Chronological. I just wanted to say it's been a blessing ever since I got out of prison 5 years ago. I'm still on parole, but I'm starting to get married next year. I'm going to be getting married to my beautiful fiance, Olivia, and I just want to let you guys know that I just shared that last episode with you guys, or with her. And also, I'm getting a contractor's license soon, so things are turning around for me, and all glory to God. So just please pray for me and my future with my wife and my family, and hopefully I can start this family enterprise on the right foot. So thank you, and God bless you guys. Shalom.